Because this is part eight, and you can so number it, Cindy, and you can wing it if you'd like to. Still on the topic of full of God. All right, then let's go for it. Here's Mark Rumfellow.
If you were last week, looking over some things, we can continue on this thought process here in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, the Lord speaking here, and all of a sudden, during the course of His warning here about what's to come, He starts mentioning something here that we want to look at in Matthew 24, verse 15. He says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And he goes on and continues there, which we'll not cover. It's just a little bit too much and out of the way to go into these things. But one thing I want to make note. In verse 15, he talks about the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel. So if you want to find out about the abomination of desolation, where would you go to read about it? Obviously, Daniel, exactly. And I can just throw it out there real quick. When I go there, you can look up chapter 11 and chapter 8, which will help you to understand this. But what exactly is the abomination of desolation of this thing? We go to our typical chart that I draw up here almost every Sunday. And just to help, we ran across in a restaurant that told me that he saw me on television, has been watching. He says, "Draw up there as you preach, makes it so much easier to comprehend and see what you're talking about." This thing works good, folks. It's very elementary, but boy, it can be laid out really well to people that have a lack of understanding in rightly dividing the word of truth. So then we have the death of Christ, the burial, the resurrection, and we come out into the time we're in today, the dispensation of the grace of God. Now there's going to come a time where it's referred to as a tribulation, so we'll just write trib here. And why are we so Pauline? I don't know. The Lord says, in reference back to Daniel, that there'll be the abomination of desolation. So what exactly is that? Well, what took place, say in Acts chapter 1 and 2, in that time frame? Peter, you know, he gave the great Pentecostal address, right? Well, all Jews from all over the nation had gathered there in Jerusalem for the sacrifice, the Passover, and the feast day and Pentecost and things of that nature. They had gathered there from all nations there, and they're offering their sacrifices, okay? Well, and I've got to skip so much to do this. Ultimately, Israel at that time, under the ministry of the apostles, did not trust in the Lord. They didn't believe in the Lord. They began persecuting and killing the apostles and disciples back here. And so God, in His master plan, had this time frame stuck in here that nobody was not written by Daniel the prophet. It wasn't prophesied by Isaiah. It's not in the Psalms. It cannot be found in Old Testament. That's why it's so unique today. And the only understand everything about it as God would have you to understand is by the Apostle Paul. He is the first one put in here, and all mysteries and revelations to this time frame, this mystery time, is given to Paul and Paul only. And let me tell you something. If Peter knew anything about it, he got it from Paul. It wasn't the other way around. And so what's going to happen is this time frame is going to come to an abrupt halt, where the Lord's going to come down into the clouds, not to the earth, to the clouds, and we all in this time frame that trusted in Christ are going to be called up together when the Lord is calling the roll. Thank you, Mike. Is your name on the roll, though? You know he's going to open? In Philippians, it's called a book of life. Go to the R's. Rumfella, Mark, here! Oh, I'm here! You know, we used to play with the teachers, you know. When the teacher, at Woodlawn, it was this thing that only the kids knew, and how the teachers never caught on over the years. I mean, from freshman year to senior year, that somebody made up a name, Murphy Stillwater. And so every year, somehow the teachers would get the list of names of the kids in the class. And somebody in there was faithful in every class I was in for 4 years to put Murphy Stillwater. So the teacher would call the name, Murphy Stillwater? No. You, Murphy Stillwater! I've been looking for you. And they'd just call it, and every day, and the kids would start laughing, and so she kind of got on to what was going on. But it worked every year, all that time. Well, there's going to be a roll called up yonder, and it's going to be called out of the book of life, and your name is in it if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. Okay? If you haven't trusted, you got trouble. You got problems. So then, we go up, we're out. We go into the tribulation. There's going to be, according to Daniel, a little horn. There's reference to horns. That has to do with kings over nations. And there's going to be a little horn that's described there. And he's going to tumble some big horns there. And he's going to rise up in the midst. Now, let me say this. After we go out, everything that was going on back here concerning sacrifices, it's all going to resume back over here. This age is over. It's done. So God will raise up prophets or those that are sealed with the Holy Ghost. There'll be prophets to start preaching at this time. And the little horn is going to rise up and declare. And I'm going to put a little cross because he's not a big one. Representing the fact that he is the Christ. And they're going to buy into it. And so for 3.5 years, everything's going well concerning the sacrifices. But in the midst of that time of 7 years, this guy's going to cause the sacrifices to cease. And that's where you can read about it in Daniel. So then the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet is when the sacrifices are ceased. Therefore, the Lord said back here, Matthew, when you see that, run. Run. And they're going to take off. Don't go in your house to get clothes, food, just run. And the Jews are going to scatter throughout the nations. Because remember, like here, they've come from all nations. They're scattered. They're going to come from all nations to offer these sacrifices. And when they see the sacrifice stop, they're going to run. God wouldn't stop those sacrifices, so that tells them. And it's going to get so bad that he's going to have to shorten the days. Now, I don't know if the days are shortened in the sense that this could have been a longer time, so he cut back on the number of days, or the 24 hours in a day will be shortened. I'm not sure how that works. But they're going to be shortened, else no flesh shall live. And you know what's interesting about this is this is the same Lord that said, lo, I'm with you always. In other words, that's a comfort verse. just like us being sealed unto the day of redemption. That's comfort to us. The one that's with them always is telling them, when you see this take place, run. It tells you how bad it's going to be. So then they're going to have to take off, run. As they run, some will be captured. They'd be had their heads cut off. Others will be stowaways, and we'll get into that a little bit later. This will be ended by a return of the Lord with all His mighty angels, and it's called the Day of the Lord. It's called the Day of His Wrath. Look back in Isaiah chapter 35. There's no reason to read entire chapters here. But in Isaiah 35, the day of the Lord. Verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose, and rejoice even with joy and sing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear. Your God will come with vengeance. Even God, with a recompense, He will come and save you. Chapter 34. Verse 2. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Folks, it's going to be a slaughter take place. When the Lord returns, He's going to come back, and there'll be a slaughter that will take place. It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of His vengeance. As a matter of fact, Paul writes about it. Turn all the way over to 1 Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's talking about this return right here. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should not overtake you as a thief. Well, that makes it pretty clear that we're not going to go into this day. That's what we covered last week. The Thessalonians were very concerned that someone must have taught them that the church will go into this time and they will have to endure this tribulation and the return of the Lord and all those type things. And He's setting this straight. You're not appointed to that. That day will not take you. So we see that the return of the Lord will be with vengeance. It will be a slaughter. Now, when He returns, He's going to set up a kingdom, and that kingdom's going to go for 1,000 years. He's going to destroy this man of sin, this wicked one, and the angel of the Lord is going to take him to the bottomless pit and chain him up for 1,000 years. Now, as He sets up the kingdom, I want to show you something about the kingdom. Look back in Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 25. Look in Matthew 25. This is the Lord's return, setting up the kingdom. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come, so we have no doubt or question when this is, and all the holy angels with Him, His glory. So now we're in the kingdom, okay? And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them, who to? And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them. Who is the them? the nations, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So I'm just going to go on the board here. We're in this time, since you guys are looking this way, we're going to write sheep over here, and then goats over here.
Oops. Jim, old boy, popped right out. He must have lost his connection. No, no thunder. It is a rainy, cloudy day. There he is. He's back.
On the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. Who's on the right hand? Dad. Oh, yeah, look. Oh, yeah, you can top that. Uh-huh. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand. Who's on the right hand? Oh, by the way, who are the sheep? Who are the goats? Go to V2. Pick up those that are maybe left off here. And before him shall be gathered all what? And he shall separate them. Who is the them? One from another. Now verse 33. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then who are the sheep? Who are the goats? He's dividing the nation. Now why are they different? That's what we have to see. All right. Verse 34. Then shall the king say to them on the right hand. Who's on the right hand? And they are what? Nations. Okay. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. That's the sheep. On his right hand. Say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, watch this, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And folks, that matches Genesis chapter 12. Those that bless the seed of Abraham, God would bless. So what do we have here? They go into this tribulation, and when the man of sin is revealed, when that son of perdition is revealed by causing the sacrifice to cease, what were they, the Jews, to do? Flee. Don't take anything with you. Run as fast and as far as you possibly can, everywhere you can. So those Jews are going to be scattered out, hiding in some nations. There will be some nations, I don't know who they are, but there will be nations that will take those Jews that are fleeing, take them and hide them out from the Antichrist who's after them to kill them. And so they're going to feed them, they're going to clothe them, they're going to do everything they can to take care of those Jews. And so when the Lord returns, He comes with His day of vengeance. He destroys the army of the Antichrist. You go into this time, and He's going to call all nations before Him. And He's going to divide them out as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on the right, the goats on the left. And He's going to have the sheep over there, and He's going to say, come into the kingdom prepared for you. You're blessed of my Father. He said, really? How in the world is that? Well, you clothed me, you fed me, you visited me, you did all of these things. Well, when did we see that? When did we do that for you? Well, if you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so these nations will receive a blessing by blessing those Jews that have scattered from the Antichrist. The goats, on the other hand, look at them. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, that's what hell was all about anyway, the devil and his angels. God never prepared it for man. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So there's a separation of the nations that God is going to do in this kingdom, and the sheep are going to go into this kingdom and have the blessings of the Lord upon them. And those goat nations will be cast down. The people will be cast down into the fire that he has for the devil and his angels. Folks, let me tell you something. Society has reached a point where fear doesn't bother it anymore. I mean, we've become very numb with the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news broadcast and the stuff that we see. We see stuff that only at certain segments of our civilization men saw through wars and things of this nature, but is presented to us constantly. Let me tell you something. When this time comes, this tribulation, there has never been, nor ever will be, the type of trouble that's going to come upon this earth than during the tribulation. And that includes the days of Noah, a flood that destroyed the world and everything in it save Noah and his family. It's going to be bad. And the only way you can avoid it, if it takes place in your life, is by trusting in the Lord. You see, we're in a special time today. And you know, when you go out into just our society and you think about the number of people that are lost, you know what? They're walking around enjoying God's grace right now. They're not experiencing His anger. They're not experiencing His wrath, His vengeance, His recompense. They're enjoying this time based upon what His Son did for them on Calvary. And let's face it, those of us that were saved were them also. What do I mean? I was living in this grace as a lost individual, living it up, enjoying the fact that I could do anything I wanted to do and God wouldn't smack me dead right then and there. And you know, if you remove God's grace today, He has every right to kill every human being and not answer for it at all. But He wants His grace displayed. He wants His grace known. And since it was given to the Apostle Paul and him only, you can't go back and read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can't follow Peter and see it and learn about it. The only way you can see it, the only way you can understand it, the only way you can know about it is by the writings of the Apostle Paul. Oh, y'all, that bunch that believes in once saved, always saved. Folks, if it don't take place here, it won't take place any other time. Trust me. I go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I read verse after verse, and we've covered them, where you can lose your salvation. We see Peter, they had a group there, two people. They had to sell all they had and then lay it at the apostles' feet. Two people lied and wound up dying for it. Obviously then, whoever wrote Hebrews is in the same doctrine with Peter. And so preachers today will go into Hebrews and bring Hebrews teaching into today. Well, folks, just the title of the thing, Hebrews, should give it away. When Paul says, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So go read Hebrews. Something wrong there. The only place you'll ever see where an individual by faith and not by works can be saved, sealed, and have no threat of losing their salvation is by Paul's writings. It's a special time, people. It's something that we should rejoice about. When Donald was talking about all the stuff we go through, all the stuff we're enduring, all the problems that everybody in this group right here, right now, is going through in your lives, we should have a celebration at this church for the fact that we can gather in the name of the Lord, knowing we're sealed until the day of redemption. There shouldn't be a bemoaning and dragging heels where sparks are flying behind our shoes to come to church. It should be an exciting time. It should be something where we can gather because, folks, we're absolutely so unique that other churches can't even recognize what we believe. You sit there with a preacher, and I've done it, and tried to explain some rightly divided to him, and I can just see the train has left his station. He can't follow. You say, you're just talking tough. I'm just telling that it happened in my life. I've talked to preachers. I've talked to men who say, well, I do Sunday school at our church. Really? What do you teach? Really? Well, you know it's by faith you're saved. You know you're still, well, brother, we don't take it that far. They don't even understand what we're gathering here for today. You say, well, I'm not sure about that, Mark. You know, I mean, you know, you're saying all that. I'll challenge you. Go out and talk to them. Just lay a little rightly dividing on them and see if they understand what's going on. They don't have an idea, folks. Trust me. And this stuff here, oh, you can buy book upon book upon book about the tribulation. First thing that captivated me when I got saved was a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Sold millions of copies. Boy, I couldn't get to the Christian bookstore fast enough to buy one. So I'm going through this thing. I'm reading it. Boy, he's got this thing. Man, look at this. I can't believe this is coming upon. Look at this. Oh, by the way, the late great planet Earth, as he was prophesying of the end times, written in 1980. I said 1980? You know what his problem is? He don't rightly divide. How do I know? Because I followed his teaching. Once I attended enough of Obed's classes and started learning the Bible, rightly divided, I saw he's bringing passages out here, applying them to here. And I go, wait, that conflicts with what Paul says here. And I started seeing some things. If you want to borrow the book, I still have it. Matter of fact, I dug it up a little while back and started reading. And that's when our embassy in Iran was overrun. And, you know, you got Reagan. You know, Reagan was ready to push the big red button and he's just going to nuke us all. And it's amazing. And generation after generation, you've had that kind of stuff come up during this time of grace rather than just sticking to the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. So you've got nations divided out. And there are nations that's going to inherit this kingdom. You know, with the temple and all, there was a court there. It was called the court of the Gentiles. The Gentiles had the opportunity to go to the temple. They couldn't go in there. They couldn't go into the temple and make their sacrifices. But what they could do is come to that court and bring sacrifices unto the Jews. And that's what they're going to do. Gentile nations are going to bring all of their goods to this nation during the kingdom. So there's no wonder what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians. There's no question why he wrote this to the Thessalonians. Look in chapter 5 again. Now, those of you that are here, this is great foundation work for where we're going to go next in this lesson class. Chapter 5, he's talking about the day of the Lord coming as a thief of the night. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. How's that? Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why would you have a hope of salvation? Watch verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not appointed to wrath. Folks, if we live out our lives here before the rapture, and we all are gone, and there's a whole new generation going on, we will not fall down into hell. We will not face wrath there. Neither, when the rapture comes, will God leave us and we go through the wrath of God here. We're not appointed to that. We are appointed to obtain salvation, so put the helmet on. Be hard-headed about your salvation. Have confidence in it. And he says, wake up. Folks, wake up. We've got some people that we need to go out to. They're asleep in their bed, and we need to go shake them, wake them up, and let them know that salvation is here, it's free, it's without works, it's by belief in the Lord, and when you have it, you can't lose it. And there are people that are sleeping at this time. We've got to wake them up to get them saved. Folks, it takes a little work on our part to get people to see the gospel. It takes a little follow-up call. It may take a visitation. It may take an invite. It may take a little work on our part to get people to see salvation and see what we have in Christ Jesus. But folks, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth somebody taking the time to have shown you the gospel and shown you the truth? You're the beneficiaries of it. So Paul says, wake up, let us be sober, put on that armament, and take the gospel out to others who deserve it as much as us. You know, I was listening to a preacher, and he was addressing sinful men. And of course, you know, these men could never get salvation. He's right on only one. You know, he brought up Saddam Hussein. Whatever. He brought up Hitler. Hitler's the poster boy for going to hell, of course. And then Judas. Judas is the only one that he brought up that justifiably is going to wind up in hell. But everybody else, folks, has the opportunity to be saved. I don't care about their character and what they've done. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for all of our sins. He died for all of their sins. So anybody living in this time that we're living in, it's God's grace to save any and all that call upon His Son. You can't commit a sin because your sin became manifest in the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, did you ever notice 2 Corinthians, who knew no sin, was made sin for us? In other words, all of the sin of man was placed on His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ was made sin. That encompasses all manner of sin. So what sin could you commit today that God couldn't forgive you of? There isn't one. God can forgive you of any and all sins by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. So the question now is, would you search your hearts? Just look into yourself and ask this question. Have I ever trusted in what Christ did for me? He died for my sins, He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. That's the gospel. Because folks, if you haven't done that, and the rapture takes place, you're going into a time that there is no recovery from. There's no second chance. There's no second blessing. There's no, oh, I'll straighten it out in the tribulation. You're going to go into a time where there's no hope at that point in time. The hope that God provides today is in and through Jesus Christ. So you've got to look at your own self. And you've got to come up with the answer. Am I saved? Do I have my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me? I don't know if anybody in this room is saved except one. That's right here. I and the Lord am the only one that knows that Mark is saved. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Are you saved? You answer it yourself. And I hope you are. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the glorious gospel of Christ. The fact that it can save all that come unto You through Him. We pray if there's any here that has never trusted in Jesus Christ, that right now they'd make that decision to trust in Your Son who loved us and gave Himself for us. And for those of us here, Lord, that have trusted, we give You the thanks, honor, and praise that You so well deserve. And we look forward to the glorious appearing of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the role that will be called, and our life that will be everlasting with You. We thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.